Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There's a story told about a woman whose name was Lady Godiva in the 11th century in England, is said to have gone through the streets of her city on horseback without any clothes, and that was an effort to persuade her husband, who was the leader of the city, to spare the people who were overly taxed. Well, from the appearances of many women and some men, it seemed to be some others who are working to lower taxes today the same way. There's a takeoff, no pun intended, on the nursery rhyme about old Mother Hubbard. You know, she went to her cupboard and her cupboard was bare, but today many are imitating her cupboard. Old Mother Hubbard went to the closet to get her poor daughter a dress, but when she got there, her closet was bare, and so was her daughter, I guess. I want to talk to you, dear people, about modesty in our dress. Now, there is a need for Christians to apprise the quality of attitudes and actions regarding what we wear. What we wear, especially in mixed company, and what we wear out in public. And this also involves a reflection on biblical revelation. Too many people have given up their convictions under the pressure of public opinion and of fashions and of fads, and they've lowered their moral standards to conform to the lead of those who don't care anything about God or His truth. Now, as we discuss this subject, we're fully aware and we're willing to run the risk that many will simply not give any impartial hearing to what is written in the Word of God on this subject. And that's because they are determined to go their own way and to do their own thing, even though their will contradicts the will of God. And it is a shame that sometimes there be some, even in the church, as well as on other matters, who do the same thing. But an honest and sincere brothers and sisters in Christ want to be biblical. And we trust our remarks will be just exactly that, as well as plain, but not be earthy, but clear and discreet. Now, we would contend that it is morally wrong, it is sinful, to dress immodestly. And this includes the wearing of such attire as short shorts and these bikini bathing suits in mixed company, skimpy clothing that's too sheer and too tight, clothing that's open and too short and slit and designed to reveal what ought to be covered, and especially when bodily movements are made. And immediately we can see how this is going to affect so many of the cheerleaders. They're in trouble. We're talking about modesty in our dress. We cannot be modest and wear immodest clothing in the public and mixed company. Now in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, we have the divine teaching where we are not to commit adultery. But Jesus said more than that. We're not to lust. This passage not only condemns adultery, friend, it condemns being lustful. And since lust is sinful, it ought to be obvious to all that provoking lust is equally sinful. Who could contend that it's right before God to provoke another to sin? Men may well be guilty of lust, and this we do not justify whatsoever. But are not women who parade their bodies in an immodest fashion guilty of provoking sin? Can the teaching that condemns causing one to stumble, as Romans 14 and 21 does, can we ignore that in the matter of women dressing immodestly, knowing that there be men who will lust because of that? Shall we disagree with Christ regarding those who encourage offenses, as in Luke 17, verses 1 and 2? Friend, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, Peter speaks of some men who have eyes full of adultery. Now, it may well be true that there's some men, regardless of how modestly a woman might dress, will be lustful. But in those cases, his guilt is altogether his. But that's not what we're considering here. A modest woman does not contribute to sinning. But an immodest woman in her immodest dress, she does contribute to that sinning, and she sins when she does. Now, it's wrong to be lustful, but is it not wrong to provoke lust? You see, there is such a thing as immodest apparel, 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. And the Apostle Paul teaches women to be modest and to wear modest apparel. Now, friend, if there is such a thing as modest apparel, and there obviously is, there must also be such a thing as immodest apparel. Now, I know sometimes people try to escape the force of this teaching on modesty. And they say that modesty is a relative matter. They'll say, what is modest today was considered immodest 50 years ago. And therefore, we can't draw the line to say what is and what is not modest. Listen to me, friend. If that argument had any validity, then the teaching that calls for modest apparel would be nonsense. And the Holy Spirit hasn't spoken nonsense. And if it is nonsense, we just ask, why did the Holy Spirit speak of modest apparel? Why did the inspired Apostle Paul admonish modest apparel? If one cannot determine what is modest and what is immodest, why was it even mentioned? The very fact that women are taught to dress modestly insists that we can determine modesty from immodesty, even though there may be some relativity involved. And there is also a limit that is involved. Now, friend, it's immodest to wear clothing that calls attention to those parts of the body which arouse erotic impulses. It will create lust. Now, clothing that does not do that is modest clothing. But clothing that does do that is immodest clothing. And that which is designed to provoke sexual stimulation, that's immodest. And some attire that is being worn by women and men, it is immodest on that very definition. Who denies that this is the purpose of the slits up the skirts to reveal the thighs? Who could deny the very brief swimsuits? How could they be modest? Why, friend, if these swimsuits are modest, how could one ever become immodest? What else could be removed before one was immodest? The only thing left is to go to total nudity. If short shorts are modest, what must one remove before they would be immodest? And friend, if it's modest to uncover the body, if it's modest to emphasize the body to increase sexual stimulation and simply to draw attention to oneself, how could one ever be immodest? And yet we're taught that clothing must be modest. And this sad fact that some just remove the teaching of God while they're removing their clothing. They want to be immodest, and they try hard to get around what God has said. They want to attract attention to themselves, and they'll take off their clothes in order to attract attention to themselves. They'll wear the most abbreviated and sheer clothing in order to attract attention to themselves. They are so selfish and self-centered, they want to draw attention to themselves. And they draw attention, all right. The woman who dresses immodestly, she'll get the attention of the whoremongers, the slutmongers, the fornicators, the adulterers, the perverts. Oh, she'll get their attention. And she'll get the attention of decent men who will look upon her with a contempt because she is violating the will of God. Friends, some things are right and wrong simply because God has said they're right and wrong. And some things that may not be right or wrong of themselves can be wrong under certain conditions and circumstances. Now, this is not the same as what is called situation ethics. That's a philosophy that denies there's any such thing as right and wrong. They contend that everything depends upon the conditions and the situations and the circumstances. But friend, immodest clothing is wrong because God has condemned it and he has called for modest clothing. And some conditions make what is by nature neither necessarily right or wrong. For instance, something might be wrong in public. It would not be wrong in private. Wearing a small amount of clothing may be acceptable in the privacy of one's home and with one's mate, but on the street it would certainly not be proper attire. And even the laws of our land recognize that. I don't know why people can't understand that. Who can refute this intelligently and fairly? You see, friend, sexual desire is powerful, but it's not evil. This appetite has been placed in the body by our God, and the same God who made our body also demands modesty and condemns lust and fornication and adultery and unlawful sexual attractions. He has provided for the satisfaction of this desire in marriage. Do you suppose God has simply forgotten how he made man? What has God given that is to be used but not abused? Covering the body with clothing, it has a moral purpose, as well as for the purpose of protection and prevention of sin and for ornamentation. Garments are immodest when they do not respect the moral purposes. Clothes that reflect the character and quality of one's heart. It tells what kind of person one really is. Immodest clothing displays how one is insecure and inferior, rebellious, lacking in confidence, defying the will of God. One must think they can expose themselves just to get attention. A woman's security level is often measured by the length of her skirt. The secure, loved, acceptable, appreciated woman does not have to attract attention of everyone, nor does she dress provocatively. She reflects her value of herself and her self-respect, the sanctity of her own body by the way she dresses. And the woman who dresses immodestly, she reveals a flaw in her morals and in her character, just as an emotional, immature male equates sometimes profanity and obscenity and adultery with manhood, the drinking of alcoholic beverages and such as that. They both show immaturity when they show the lack of moral respect for themselves and those of the opposite gender. If women want the respect of godly men, they must act and dress modestly as women professing godliness. Otherwise, they can be considered cheap, usable, disposable, undesirable. They can expect to be the targets of uncomplimentary remarks. Have you ever heard of single women complaining about being able to find a suitable marriage partner? Well, no wonder. Look at the way they dress, and going to the bars and the taverns and the mixed athletic clubs and the beaches where they're almost without clothes. What kind of people can you expect to find there? We'll talk some more about this in our next lesson. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.